When you are outside, the devil is cool. And I want to tell you this morning, if there are any person here this morning who says they have never came in contact with the devil, it's because you are both going the same direction. Because he doesn't have to worry about, you're not going to meet him. You're going the same direction. But if he's coming from that side and you're coming from this side, you're going to buck him up. And there's going to be a fight. It's going to be. And so I have to give this lady credit for just being there. Just being there. Are you here this morning feeling some pain before you came and you decide that, Lord, I am coming to service? It's not going to stop me. Are we like that? She could have been discouraged, depressed, and even felt abandoned by God. 18 years I'm like this and said, God, what are you going to do? Are you going to help me or not? And it's not happening. As some people on the street, nothing will happen for me. Right? She could have said that. Yes? But she knows, and she still felt the desire to attend services because it was important. Is service important to you this morning? That regardless of what's happening out there, you tell yourself, I must attend. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as a manner of some is. That's what the Bible says. But here it is, that it is interesting that her condition was caused by a demon. A demon. There are many different symptoms mentioned in the Bible that are caused by demonic activities during Jesus' time. Matthew 9, 32 to 33, dumbness, demon. Blindness in Matthew 12, 22. Seizures. Matthew 17, 14. Luke 4, 32. Mental disorder, insanity, and abnormal strength is caused by demons. But this does not say, because you see a dumb man out here today or a blind man, is that this demon? I don't want us to get that idea. No. Not all of them are caused by, but the Bible here says that this one was caused by demonic activities. Right? This should teach us that our condition, the condition of this lady, was of such that shows us that Satan, the devil, is a real and very busy enemy. Jesus came in this world to defeat that enemy, Satan. And I want to tell you in Matthew 28, Jesus says, all power is given unto me. In heaven and in earth, all power. Jesus came to defeat Satan. Mary and Martha, Jesus had to tell them in John 11, 25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. You know what that is saying, my friends? It is saying that although death is fatal, but death is not final. God, Jesus tells us, a book tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that it was appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. So death is not final. There are people in the world today think that death is final, but it's not. Let us not be like them, because we're going to have a surprise. We're going to have a surprise. If my Bible is true, and I believe it is, Jesus knows that this woman deserved dignity and love. No matter what disease she was suffering from, she deserved it. In so many ways, you know, Jesus was way above his time. Way, way beyond his time. Look at this. The American Association of Psychological Science, they did a study. Why are you listening now? They did a study on their study on or of compassion. And the research showed that empathy activates the pleasure center of the mind, of your brain. That's what they said. Ultimately, what they are saying, they determine that we are happier when we give to the needy than when we received. But that don't sound like any research to me. In Acts 20 and verse 35, the Bible tells us that, as Jesus called, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you coming to me with that today, what research have you done? Maybe you just read the Bible. That's where it is. You read the Bible. And so Jesus was showing compassion on this woman. It happened before. It happened before. And compassion doesn't just change others. It shapes us too. There is invariably someone that is in need of mercy at all times. And when we look at ourselves, we are in need of the mercy of God every day. And when we go to work, we go to play, we go to school, wherever we go. And when we get back home, how many of us say thank God? How many of us? We have come into this society today. And I remember Brother Mitchell can tell you, and those who are older can tell you. You know that there was a time when people come into God's house, everybody, as they sit down, they offer a word of prayer. How many of us are doing that today? To say, thank God, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. I'm here once more. How many of us are doing that? If we are not, then we are in need. Because God has shown us his mercy. We need to be grateful to him. Like this woman. Compassion. It's there. But you know, we are to be prepared for the usual resistance. Same, just the same, 10 to 17 we're looking at. As we go down, we have to be prepared for resistance, because there is always someone who finds a reason to withhold compassion from other people. You know the good thing about God? When Christ instituted the church in Acts 2, the Bible tells us that the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what that means? God adds, not man adds. Because if God had given man that responsibility, then many of us would not be in the church today. I wouldn't be here. I'm sure a lot of people don't like me. Right? And you think about it. If God had given people that responsibility, so Peter couldn't have that responsibility, you know. Because we know Peter made his little mistakes. Because he's still a man. Look at Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. No, Lord, I ain't going. Those people, wicked people, them for dead. Right? Them the people must go hell. God had to make a fish swallow this man. And him cry out. When he cried out, God spit him out and let go. And he went. Preached to the people. Even the king, they said, even the animals, man, must be sackcloth and ashes, man. And they repented. You know, Jonah went back to God. I couldn't talk to God like these people. These people are serious, you know. Jonah went back and said, I told you. I told you, you know. I know that if you told these people the truth, they're going to repent. And see, they repent. No, you're not going to do what you said you were going to do. Look at that. God made a little gold streak grow up overnight. Gave him shade. And he was so happy. And God took it down the next day. He went back to God and said, God, you're a wicked man. How could you? You know the tree is giving me shade. And you make the tree withered. So the tree is more important than the people. You see that? The people are not in need of God's compassion, but as mere tree. That God say, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the lilies. I protect them. And he's more concerned about that. And so here we see that in verse 14, in this reading, the man who was a ruler in charge of the synagogue. He thought the synagogue is his, you know. It's his synagogue. He's in charge of it, right? He's in charge. And so, yes, it was a Saturday, a Sabbath. And Sabbath meant worship. This ruler had invited Jesus to the congregation to speak. And I want to tell you, not that this was the reason why, but if you read the scriptures, this was the last time Jesus went into a synagogue to deliver the word, right? That's not the reason why he didn't go back, you know. But from the scriptures, we didn't see him going back into a synagogue. After that, this is the last time. The first time when they invited him, he said, well, whatever I've read is being fulfilled today. That's the first time. And this was the last time. Right? And so, this man, the ruler of the synagogue, was moved, as verse 14 said, with indignation. In other words, he got angry. He got frustrated. He got upset because Jesus healed the woman on the Sabbath day. And so he stood up. It's Jesus I'm talking to, you know. But he can't approach Jesus. He can't turn to Jesus and say, how are you doing this? He's talking to the congregation, but indirectly it's Jesus him approaching, you know. You have 6 days to heal people, to get healing. Why use those days? Don't come on the Sabbath day to get healing. This woman didn't come for healing of her thing. She wasn't there for that. The Bible said, as Luke puts it, that Jesus saw the need. Jesus saw the need. Right? Are you here this morning? Because Jesus knows your need. And he's waiting here. He's calling you. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just as he called the woman up. And he said, come. Call her out of the crowd. Jesus is looking at your needs. You have a need this morning. So this little man is telling Jesus that, look, don't come around here and healing people on the Sabbath day, because you have 6 days where you can go do your little thing. Right? That's what he's saying. But you know, there are reasons, three main reasons, for Israel to keep the Sabbath day. Exodus 28 to 11, the Ten Commandments. It follows God's example of doing the work of creation in 6 days and resting on the seventh day. The second one is Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. It commemorates their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Egypt, where they had never had a day off. Because slaves don't need no day off. Slaves must work. No day off. And they couldn't get to worship God. So that is the second reason. And the third is Exodus 31 and verse 13. It was a sign of the covenant given from Sinai between God and Israel. God had given them a day off of the week for worship, for of joy, freedom, and rest. 1,500 years after that, evolved. Addition by addition of hundreds of restrictions came into it. There's only three reasons God gave them, you know. And they have over hundreds of restrictions. You can't do this, you can't do that. You only can walk there, so you can't do that. And so, but do you think Jesus could have waited and healed her on the following day? After all, she has been bent over for 18 years. You think Jesus could, well, all right, I'll deal with it tomorrow. You think he could do that? As you know. No. You are not going to do that. It is the same for us today. If you are here this morning and you find that you are in need of Jesus Christ, don't wait till tomorrow. Because we know not what tomorrow might bring. We might die tonight. We might die after worship. We might even die in here. We don't know. We don't know. So Jesus was not going to wait. He could. Because 18 years, but you have been here what? 20 years, 10 years, 15 years, 35 years, 70 years, and have not given your life to Jesus Christ. And what you're saying, you can wait another day? Can we? Are you willing to take a chance? Let me tell you a story. Well, not story, this is true. I had an aunt that my dad was talking to her about God for years. And this Sunday, she decided that, well, yes, I want to give my life to God. And Father said, well, the water is here in her can. She said, no. She wants to do it next week Sunday. Because Sunday was I think it was Easter Sunday. So she wanted to be buried, to buried in baptism Easter Sunday. I went down to the country because she came from England. I went down to the country Saturday to visit her. Right? And when I went to the house, she was lying in the bed, dead. See that? She was dead. What would you like the preacher to preach over her? Huh? After telling you for so long and say, there is danger and death in delay. You see that? And that's a true story. That's true. Because I saw her. She didn't get that chance. Well, she got the chance, but she didn't accept it. Let's check out the rule as we come down to close. Let's check out the rule of the synagogue. He was a watcher instead of a worshiper. We have lots of people today in the church. All they come to do is watch, watch, watch. Watchy, watchy. All of those things. Right? Not worshiping. You don't come to worship, we come to watch. That was the attitude of the ruler of the synagogue. But God wants worshipers. John 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, not may, but must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must have the right spirit, and we must be doing it in truth. God expect that. He was a fault finder and not a faith builder. This man of the synagogue. We have people in the church like this today. They find fault with everything. There are people in the church today, every time they see they want. They're not giving anything to God, but they want. As one man said, there must be an ambulance. Want, ambulance on the road. Right? Not giving any, but we want. God give us this. God give us that. God give. What are we giving to God? He had more compassion on his ox and us, his ox and asses, than for the woman on the Sabbath day. Because Jesus said the Mosaic law did not forbid healing on the Sabbath day, you know. Exodus 20 and verse 80 said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is healing not a holy thing? The man Luke said, this woman had a spirit, you know, and Luke is the doctor and he knows what to say, a spirit of infirmity. You know, that word is where we get infirmary from. Right? Going to explaining it, she was so bent over that she couldn't even raise up herself. And this had more compassion on his ox and his ass. Because Jesus had to say to him, but friend, you are a man who allow people to lose their animals, you know, on the Sabbath day so that they can go and eat a thing and drink some water so they don't die. And this woman is in need of the living water. Why don't you allow her to get the living water? Right? And so, you know, I want to go back to verse 13 where Jesus said, you know, Jesus laid his hands on the woman and she was made straight and glorified God immediately. Jesus didn't get to Panadol and say, all right, work with that and tell me if you feel better tomorrow. No. When you come to Jesus and Jesus present, he said, if the Son of Man make you free, you are free indeed. Amen. You want to be free this morning. Jesus is here that can make you free. The point I want to make to you and the partner is the woman glorifying God, because immediately, it wasn't an afterthought, you know. It was true, heartfelt gratefulness and gratitude of this woman that she jumped up and started to glorify God. There are many of us, do you know how much things Jesus have done for us and we didn't turn back to glorify him? Huh? Like the 9 out of the 10 lepers that just went on their way and didn't even come back to say thank you to Jesus Christ. Huh? She received her blessing. This woman received her blessing. The Bible tells us that weeping may endure in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm waiting for my morning too. Are you? Joy cometh in the morning. She got her blessing. The Bible said Jesus was teaching in the synagogue and saw the woman Esau condition. I called her. She did not receive a blessing because of the clothes that she wore, you know. Or because of what she had to give. She had nothing to give. But Jesus saw her need. And if Jesus is seeing your need this morning, all he asks you to do is come. Just come. Just as I am. Without one. I want to tell you something. God is not expecting you to change out here and come here, you know. No, you're going to come here with what you have. But once you come to Jesus Christ, he will put the change in you. Right? And I want to tell you something else. That when Jesus blesses you and you have been empowered because you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you cannot remain the same way. So you have to, if you are a thief, you have to change it. I won't go further, you know. Because if you are a homosexual and you come here and you want to accept Jesus, there's no church here that Jesus built that way, accept homosexual, you know. You're going to come and change. There must be a change. So in the church, you see out there talking about there, it's time to accept. When did God's words change? God's message was once delivered. Was once delivered. And so, the Bible said, she didn't have anything to give. But she received her blessing because Jesus was in the house. Jesus is in the house this morning. Come for your blessing. Jesus is here. The Lord's house is a good place to be because there is no other institution in the world that can compare with the church of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For the church is a body of baptized believers that God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And God has a message this morning. The message he wants a dying world to hear. A message of love, hope, and forgiveness. But also it's a message of judgment. And the church is here to send that message. Turn or burn. That's what we're here for this morning. Why do you think you come to God? If you don't accept God, you're going to burn. You can't preach a heaven without a hell, you know. So it doesn't make sense to hear people preach, oh, heaven and God is so nice. And yes. But God is going to judge us one day. God is patient. But his patience will not last forever. And we must understand that. As we conclude, is there something else that God wants us to understand from this reading? Yes. I think so. And he said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound over low these 18 years, be loose from her bonds on the Sabbath day? Shouldn't she be loose today? Why you want it to be tomorrow? And Jesus is in the house today. He's here. Don't go away. Don't go away and wait for tomorrow. And I used to tell kids, There are some kids come and say they want to accept Jesus Christ, but or they have to go home and tell the parents. No, don't go tell them. Because if you go, that's the devil work, you know. If you go and tell your parents, it ain't gonna happen. Right? Just do what Jesus says today. Because once you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, nobody can take it off, you know. You can't take it off. And so the message jumps out. That is the truth of redemption and restoration from the bondage of Satan and sin. How long has there been some nagging thing, sin, plaguing us? How long? How long have you been suffering and you have suffered from unconfessed sins? How long? We all have things in our background that cause us embarrassment or shame. Boy, I don't want anybody to know about this. But here, look here. God knows everything. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus this morning. Because you have to get rid of it. Because no sin is going to enter into heaven. No sin is going to enter there. Wouldn't it be a good thing and a better thing to do it today? Tell God no. Today is the day of salvation. As we get ready to sing our invitation song, it is a time to do it for Jesus today. Wouldn't you like to be free? If you want to be free, you need to come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today because God knows already and has been waiting for you. God is waiting for you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and he's not going to kick down your door. You have to open it for him. Why don't we open our heart's door to Jesus today? Open it to Jesus today and be free. Be free. He said, though through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be free by being baptized for remission of your sin today. And if you were baptized and you are backslidden, you can come to Jesus today because he has open arms to forgive. He said, except a man be born, he can't enter. Are you being washed in the blood? If not, why not? Jesus is here waiting. You will be singing when you have done this. As Martin Luther said, free at last. Free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. But this is a spiritual freedom I'm talking about. Are you here this morning? If you feel the need this morning, just like this woman who is bent over, Jesus called her and said, be loose. You can be loose today. But God is just saying, come. Why don't you come as we rise together and sing our invitation song? Amen.